Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Technically the home team, in name alone at least.
A little bit of a crossover.
A little crossover. Hey, just like the crossover podcast, sponsored by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen.
By the way, Tyler, you do a great job too on your Up to Speed podcast. I know not everybody's cup of tea is NASCAR. Right. I know you love it. And truth be told,
yes,
I haven't heard all of your podcasts, but I've listened to many of them.
That's okay.
And I enjoy it.
Thank you.
I have a passing interest in NASCAR.
Your dad's a pretty big fan.
He's a huge NASCAR fan. And, you know, we watched a lot of races over the years. So I do enjoy listening to you on your podcast.
Right.
And for anyone out there listening that likes NASCAR, check out Tyler and Up to Speed Podcast, all the stuff you can find on the 960 The Ref app.
Absolutely. And just because the season's over doesn't mean that we're slowing down. We put up an episode last week, and we'll try and hopefully have one this Friday as well as we keep up with all the changes going on the offseason. And in fact, 2019 champion Kyle Busch was on Monday Night Raw last night and won the 24/7 championship, believe it or not.
Wow, okay. I had to think about that for a second.
Yes, there's a title that changes hands quite a lot. And, you know, whenever there's a celebrity or a guest on the show, you can kind of assume they're probably going to win the title at some point in the show before giving it back at the end. And that's what happened last night.
So when does, everything cranks back up in February. But
Correct.
These guys aren't just not doing anything. So what are they doing right now?
So it depends on what their discipline of motorsports is. You got guys like Kyle Larson that are running 3 and 4 dirt races every single week. I know he's run about 9 since the season's ended already. This upcoming weekend, you have a really big late model race going on down in Pensacola, the Snowball Derby. A lot of guys are going to be down there. In fact, in January, they have something called Speed Fest down in Cordele, Georgia, which is a Friday and Saturday event, a big late model race. A lot of people come to that as well. So there's always stuff going on. You also have the Chili Bowl, which is the biggest dirt race in the world. Out in Oklahoma every January. So there's stuff to do in the offseason.
What was this may not have been during the offseason. What was the race where Tony Stewart a few years ago ran over somebody?
That was just a random dirt race at Canandaigua Speedway up in
what time
New York.
Of year was that?
So that was in August.
Okay.
That was the night before they were racing in Watkins Glen the next day.
Okay. So it wasn't an off or an out of season thing.
No.
Okay.
And that's the thing. Like, there's dirt races
all
every
time.
Single night across the country. So
somewhere.
Guys like that can find a race just about any time.
Sure.
Yeah, that's where that happened.
You may not know, so like if you're on 85 and let's say you go to the outlet malls at Banks Crossing and head north, like you're going to South Carolina, and north of those I don't know if it's 10-15 miles, there's a dirt track that's right there on the interstate. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. I can't remember.
Because I noticed when we were driving back home from Spartanburg Thursday night, they were having races that night.
It's not Winder Barrow, is it?
It's not Winder.
Not Winder Barrow. I know there's one out there. I know there's some more in North Georgia. I just can't remember the
name. Yeah, I don't know which one. I'm sure somebody listening can let me know.
It might be Blue Ridge, but I'm not sure.
I don't. Yeah, but they were racing
Thursday
night.
Right. That's the thing about
Thanksgiving night.
Thing about dirt. You can race just about any time of year.
And if it ain't dirt, it's mud.
That's right. I've actually not yet been to a dirt race. That's something to check off my list.
Oh, really?
Next thing to do. So,
cool. Well, I know you will eventually.
Oh, I will for sure. Dirt racing is not as prevalent down here, mainly due to the quality of dirt you get in Georgia, that really sticky, tacky clay.
Right.
It's not as good for sliding on. Dirt racing is more big out in the Midwest, more of a drier climate, that kind of
stuff.
Gotcha.
Okay. I will defer to you on all of that.
Just a little useless information for you.
Exactly.
But you ready for the 5 at 5?
I am.
Brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. And we get right rolling tonight, as I've mentioned in the Southern Sports Center, is the penultimate rankings for a college football playoff. The final rankings, of course, coming this Sunday after championship weekend. Not a whole lot of moving around after this past weekend with wins and losses and stuff, but Alabama was the number 5 team, and they did lose. So what do you think the top 10 are going to look like tonight?
Well, I think as far as the top 10 go, I mean, there may be some difference of opinion after, I would say, number six.
Okay.
I would say the top four is still going to be LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, and Georgia.
Yes.
I don't see how they could – I mean, I know LSU blew out Texas A&M.
Yes.
Or actually, Ohio State blew out Michigan.
Yes.
Very impressive.
Right, and they were a ranked team.
LSU blew out Texas A&M, very impressive.
Yes.
Clemson blew out South Carolina on the road, very impressive. Georgia blew out Tech on the road.
As much as we didn't feel like it in the second quarter,
we
did win by 45 points.
It was still the biggest win in the series.
Yes.
That's worth
something.
Yeah, I know that might say more about the current state of the series, but still, it was the biggest win in the series.
Yes.
So I don't think anything's about to change here with the top four. But then after that, then obviously we're going to see something change because of Alabama losing to Auburn.
Now, how far does Alabama fall? The question.
That's obviously, a good question. They'll be in the top 10.
Maybe eight.
I mean, ultimately, they lost by 5 points at home to the number one or number two team, and they lost by 3 points on the road to a team that could be in the top 10.
Right. So they'll be number four, right?
So, yeah, with that reasoning, they'll be in the top four.
Quality losses.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, they'll still be in the top 10. I'm trying to find my notes over here, so give me a second. But they're, you know, I don't think they're going to fall off that much.
Right. They'll drop. I mean, obviously, they're not a factor for the playoff anymore, but I think they'd still stay within the top eight. I think eight would be the lowest that they would put them. Again, once you're outside the top four, it, you know, really doesn't really matter where you're ranked at that point. But
so, to me, that means you've got Utah sitting at five and Oklahoma at six.
That's where things get interesting.
Yes.
Because obviously we want Georgia to win this Saturday, and if Georgia wins and meets LSU, we know LSU is going to be in the playoff no matter what happens on Saturday.
The only way they could not be in the playoffs
if
they
blew
them, if they got blown out, but I don't
doesn't
feel
happening.
Like that's going to happen.
If Georgia beats LSU, both teams are in the playoff, and, you know, if Ohio State loses on Saturday, they're in the playoff too. I think we can safely say that as well.
Well, here's what's funny. There's three undefeated teams.
Yes.
And they're the top three teams.
Yes.
And I'm going by LSU, Ohio State, and Clemson.
Yes.
And I know Ohio State's number one, but I'm going LSU, Ohio State, Clemson.
Yes.
And the thinking is, all right, if LSU loses, they're good.
Yes.
They're still in. Yes. If Ohio State loses, they're probably still good.
Yeah.
But they're a 16-point favorite. That would be a bad loss.
That would be
a bad loss, but a bigger loss.
Right.
If Clemson loses, most people think they're out.
Yeah, they would have to be out.
So those
are
like the three tiers of the undefeated teams. LSU, good.
Right.
Ohio State, probably.
Yes.
Clemson, not.
Right.
So that's kind of how it is with the games coming up. Now, granted, LSU's the smallest favorite.
Yes.
And let's see. I think Clemson's like a 30-point favorite over Virginia.
As they should be.
And Ohio State's about a 16 or 17 point favorite over Wisconsin.
Yes.
So that's
a team that they've already blown out once this year.
Yes. Although in that game, it was only like 10-7 in the third quarter.
Yes. It was a lot closer.
And they blew them out
in
the second half.
In the final
but they still
score.
Blew them out.
Yeah.
I'm trying to give myself hope for watching that game Saturday night.
Yeah.
So
it'll be more interesting than the ACC game going on at the same time.
Yes. Which, by the way, will join the ACC game in progress. Maybe completely over at that point, but
maybe
we will have that one. But don't you agree, though, Utah will be five and Oklahoma will be six?
And that's where the big debate comes, because should LSU beat Georgia on Saturday, then you open up the fourth spot, and now you're talking about, okay, if Utah beats a 10-2 Oregon team and if Oklahoma beats a Baylor team that they've already beaten once, it's like, who goes in at that point?
And that's Baylor's only loss.
That's Baylor's only loss.
Yeah.
Like, you've got a serious debate on your hands between those two teams should they both win their conference championship
big time.
This weekend.
Big time. So then you go, well, who did Utah lose to? They lost back in September to USC.
Yep.
And Oklahoma lost on the road in October, or was it November, when they lost to Kansas State?
Yeah, it was on Georgia's bye week. They lost to Kansas State.
Okay.
Yes.
So, I mean, to me, actually, Kansas State had a better season than I think everybody thought they were going to have.
Yeah, they're not a bad program by any means.
They ended up going 8-4, which I think is the same as USC.
Yeah, so but you can weigh both those losses equally.
About the same.
Utah, and again, we'll see what the rankings look like tonight. The win over Baylor would be better than the win over Oregon, because Baylor's ranked higher. They only have one loss as opposed to Oregon's two. But again, Oregon lost to Auburn, and then lost to Arizona State a couple weeks ago, which aren't awful losses, but Arizona State's definitely not a top 25 caliber team. But, the committee would have quite a debate on their hands. But hopefully that doesn't have to happen and Georgia just wins on Saturday.
Who would you go with?
Oh, man, that is...
In that scenario... Would it come down to which team had a better-looking win on Saturday?
I think it might.
Like if Utah had a better-looking win over Oregon than Oklahoma did over Baylor?
Right.
But what if Baylor upsets Oklahoma?
Yeah.
And they should be in the conversation.
Yeah, because they would have avenged their one loss. But
yeah.
It's like,
and that would have been their only loss.
Yeah, and...
And Utah would have just the one loss.
Right, because obviously Minnesota lost this past weekend, so they're going to drop below Baylor. Baylor's going to be sitting at 7th, more likely than not. So it's not impossible for them to leapfrog a Utah team. But, yeah, I think it's really going to come down to the style points of both these games and how it looks. And, again, remember, Baylor had a huge lead on Oklahoma and blew it 28-3 to be exact. So it's not crazy to think that they could
–
it's not crazy to think they could blow them out this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know.
And the weird thing, too, is that game's being played at 11 a.m.
Yes,
local time. That thing's being played at noon Eastern. Because that used to be a primetime game also.
Well, and for they got rid of it for several years when they lost the amount of –
But when they brought it back, wasn't it at night also, wasn't it?
I think it's always been at noon since they brought it back.
Okay. I was thinking it was a nighttime
because
game.
Because, again, that first playoff, they left both TCU and Baylor out because they couldn't decide on a legit conference champion. And the Big 12 was like, all right, well, I guess we got to decide one on the field then. So I guess that noon slot was all they could get. But, yeah, it is for as big of a matchup as it's going to be on Saturday, it is kind of weird for it to be at noon.
And here's the other thing, too. The Pac-12 championship game is Friday night.
Yes.
So the teams playing on Saturday will know a little bit of the piece of the puzzle.
And that's the thing that, you know, has hurt the Pac-12 a lot of the years with, like, guys in contention for the Heisman, like Christian McCaffrey, and even getting in the playoffs and stuff like that, is they just don't get seen as much because they're playing at 10:30 on Saturday night after most people have been watching football for 10 and a half hours. You're not as into the Pac-12 after dark games unless they start getting weird.
Them.
Yeah, when they get weird, they're great.
Yeah.
But I think the fact that Pac-12 just has to be on this Friday night, so they are the one and only thing you can be watching.
Yeah, so which is true. So you'll see both of these teams.
Right.
But if Oregon upsets Utah, then the teams playing on Saturday know that.
Yes.
You know, it's not a coincidence that the NFL on week 17, they kick off all those games at the same time, don't they?
Yes, all the games are played
except for the one game that's in – don't they do a primetime game?
Yeah, they do one Sunday night game, and typically that's the game, you know, it's going to decide a division or something like that. But, yeah, all games get played on Sunday, so nobody has the advantage of an extra day heading into wild card weekend the next week, which is good, and that's how it should be done. I mean, teams really don't need to be playing that much Thursday night football anyway.
But not even just the Thursday and the Monday thing, but don't they all kick off at the same time on Sunday? Or do they
– No,
it's either one or four.
I think it's one or four, and then they have the one primetime game, which, again, typically pits two teams deciding their own division there.
For Week 17, which is December 29th, every game kicks off at 1 o'clock except Denver hosting Oakland, the Rams hosting the Cardinals, and the Seahawks hosting the Niners.
Now that's
and then one of the I guess there's one of those games that day that'll be in prime time.
I'm guessing that Seahawks Niners game is probably going to get flexed to Sunday night the way it's looking.
Yeah, I guess it'll depend too if it decides a division or a playoff spot or that kind of thing. But yeah, that's certainly one that looks very very interesting for sure. So the last Thursday game is next Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's right, because bowl season starts.
That's right.
There's some Saturday games that are coming up. I know that. I know the Patriots got a Saturday game, I think, against the Bills in a couple weeks. But I've never been a huge fan of Thursday night football just because, you know, it's not good for player safety, and you don't always get great games out of it. So,
yeah.
You know, obviously the Thanksgiving thing, that's tradition, but, you know, we don't need it every single week.
It would be better if they could figure out a way to put a bye week around
for the player health.
Yeah, for the player safety.
You're talking about two teams playing two games within 100 hours of each other.
Exactly.
That's just not right.
Especially the way these guys are hitting each other.
For sure. For sure.
It's insane. It really is.
Moving on, the 5-5, as we've been talking about it a little bit already, a bunch of coaching changes already starting to happen is in preparation for the early signing period coming up in the middle of this month. And just kind of looking at Power 5 options that are open now. You have Arkansas, Boston College, Florida State, Ole Miss, and Missouri. I think Rutgers in there as well, but they've already hired Greg Schiano. How do you rank these jobs in order of appeal to somebody trying to become a college head coach?
All right, so give me the jobs again.
Arkansas.
The ones that you named. Arkansas.
Boston College.
D.C.
Which I was very surprised by that firing. Steve Adazio.
Yeah.
Florida State, obviously.
Okay.
Ole Miss.
Okay.
And Missouri. These are the most attractive open positions right now in college football, because you got a list of other group of fives, and again, Rutgers, which I don't really consider them a power five anyway.
No, their job's already been filled anyway, so you're right. All right, so what is your question again as far
as... Just rank them in order of appeal. Like, what is the most appealing job out of those down to the least appealing?
All right, to me, Florida State would be number one.
Okay. Now, you're going to have to perform pretty quickly if you go to Florida State, because we know the rest of the ACC is really down.
Right.
And Clemson's the only powerhouse there. So your expectations are going to be to get that program back on its feet pretty quickly.
Absolutely. No question about that. But if you want to talk about winning a conference championship or getting to the playoff, of those schools, Florida State has the
lineage.
The lineage, I don't want to say the easiest path, because Clemson is there, and that's a gigantic roadblock right now for them.
Right.
But I'll throw it out like this. Who would have a better chance of winning their conference, Florida State or Arkansas?
Florida State.
Florida State or Boston College?
Florida State.
And they're in the same division.
They're on the same side of the Atlantic.
Florida State and Ole Miss.
Florida State.
Florida State, Missouri.
Florida State.
So that to me is why.
Yeah.
That, and that's not anything against Clemson.
Right.
It's just, it's an easier path
There's only one fish in that pond.
Exactly.
Right now.
Yeah. You don't have to fight off four lions, only one.
Right.
So that to me is what makes Florida State number one of those five schools.
Does that make Arkansas or Boston College number two?
Well, not necessarily. Because that's not the only factor.
Right.
That's not the only factor, because there are ways for these other schools to be successful. And if I've eliminated Florida State and I'm looking at Boston College, Arkansas, Ole Miss, or Missouri, to me, Missouri or Arkansas would potentially be my next one.
Okay.
So that would be what I would look at next. Missouri is not a football powerhouse by any means, but
they have more structure than Arkansas has right now.
Well, and again, it comes back to fighting off the lion. How many lions do you want to fight off to be successful?
True.
Missouri doesn't have to fight off. They don't have to win the East to be successful.
Right.
You know, I guess technically, but to me, Arkansas people have a different feeling about their school. Well, we need to win the West every now and then.
Right.
And I don't know that that's possible right now.
No, certainly not.
Certainly not for this, next two or three years.
Unless you manage to pull Gus away from Auburn, which we know that's not happening.
Yeah. And Ole Miss is, it's kind of in the same boat, too.
And again, I think Ole Miss, if the situation doesn't go down in the Iron Bowl, Matt Luke still has a job there. And I think he's, for what he inherited and what he's had to deal with, I think he's done a fine job. That they're not completely 6 feet under right now is nothing short of amazing, given everything that's happened. I think he had them at a solid foundation. It's just, you know, we talked about it yesterday, that you run into two straight years of having just ridiculous, undisciplined players against your in-state rival. That's a bad look. And they had to do something.
And to have the same thing happen.
Yes.
It's just, it's not good. And, you know, I think there were some stress between the head coach and the AD and that kind of thing. And maybe this was a good, like you said, reason to try and find somebody else.
Right.
And it, like we were saying yesterday, if Mike Norvell ends up getting that job, the Memphis coach, who's, you know, one of the top coaches right now that's in the cycle, if you want to call it that, then Ole Miss felt like they needed to make a move if they thought he might go to Missouri or he might go to Arkansas.
Because it would make sense, because Ole Miss and Memphis are recruiting the same area, same general area, so he obviously has the tie-ins there, and, you know, that can bring good talent to Ole Miss, because he's done a phenomenal job at Memphis. It's looking like, because they're going to play Cincinnati again this weekend for the AAC. They just played this past weekend.
Yep.
And, you know,
does Cincinnati even go back home, or do they just stay there?
I think they just stay there.
hang out on Beale Street all week.
Because they were literally playing to see who hosted the game.
Yeah. Well, it was like, all right, The only way that it would have been like if Cincinnati had won.
Yeah.
And then Navy had won.
Yeah.
Then it would have been.
Right. But I think by the time that game played, Navy, that Navy game was already over.
It wasn't just cut and dry.
Right,
Cincinnati,
right. By the end of the game, they had a little graphic on their winner host AAC next week against this same team. And the winner of that game is going to be the Group of Five representative in a New Year's Six Bowl.
Do you think if Cincinnati wins, you think they get it?
I think so, because they were ranked, I believe, 18 and 19 last week. So I imagine they're going to be right
Boise,
next to each
though,
other again.
This is the first time they've ever gone undefeated in the Mountain.
That is true.
And but you know they're right in the last playoff selection committee poll, it was Memphis 18, Cincinnati 19, and Boise 20. So, but I agree. I think it's one of those three for sure. But
so
I wouldn't count Boise out just yet.
If Cincinnati beats Memphis, I think Boise State gets it, assuming that they win their conference as well. But if
now they're playing Hawaii.
Yeah, but if Memphis wins, I think you know,
Memphis.
They're
you're right. If Memphis beats Cincinnati, I think they're in.
Right.
But you know, Boise's basically one like possession away from being undefeated because they had like when they lost to BYU, there was some screw up in that game.
Yeah.
But other than that,
I'm
not sure Boise's not the best
right.
of the Group of Five schools, but you know, I still think Memphis, does get that.
Well, I think the AAC has just proved to be a really tough conference this year. You had a lot of really good legit teams coming in.
Well, plus UCF's been in the New Year's Day Bowl 2 years in a row.
You know, it's obviously fallen off quite a bit this year, but you know this battle between Cincinnati and Memphis has showed the strength of this conference.
What time is that game?
Is it? I think it's at
3:30. It's 3:30.
Yeah, so
I wrote this down. All right, 3:30.
We're not
going
to get to see that one.
ABC.
We're not going to get to see that one. We'll catch the highlights, but
there might be another game going on that. Starts about 30 minutes later that will have our attention.
You mean a quarterfinal game?
Yeah.
Well, for one team at least.
So can we just go ahead and say that? Georgia's in the playoff.
Yeah.
But it's in the quarterfinal.
Right. Well, I mean,
last week was the Sweet 16, and the week before that was the round of 32.
Honestly, since the South Carolina loss, we've been in the tournament.
Exactly.
I guess would that start off like the round of 132, then to 64, 32,
something
16,
like that.
Down all the way to
the crazy thing,
the
though,
eight
is
now.
Georgia hasn't trailed.
No, knock on wood.
That's insane. After losing that game to South Carolina, hasn't trailed.
Yeah.
And that was when we were talking about Bloody November coming up.
That's right.
Yes, so
we survived the onslaught. One more before we get out of here on the 5 at 5. Tyler Simmons mentioned yesterday on his press availability that there is a lot, and I mean a lot of things, that this Georgia offense has not shown. And again, this could him just be talking out of the side of his mouth and take it with a grain of salt or whatever. Do you really believe that they have held anything back and we're going to see something new against LSU? Because it's not like we've been blowing teams out like in 2017.
Yeah.
We've been in a lot of tight games.
Yeah.
And it's like you'd imagine if they had something up their sleeve, they would have thrown it out there against Auburn, Florida, because there were situations where we might have legitimately lost those games. Think we're going to see anything new on Saturday?
I don't know. Don't you think, though, every team has plays in their playbook that they haven't
probably
used?
Probably so, but he emphasized there was a lot of things that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, I saw that.
So
I'm kind of baffled by that. I don't know.
We'll see.
The thing that I'm always kind of saying to people is that I'm not an expert on play calling, so I can't really have a big opinion on that just because – to me, and from talking to people, whether it's Coach Donnan, whether it's Russ Tanner who's in here with us on Fridays, there's a lot of stuff that happens from when the play is called out of the offensive coordinator's mouth to when the ball is snapped.
Yes. And Jake has the ability to change plays at the line of
scrimmage.
Exactly,
that's what I'm
saying. So that can factor into that as well.
So, yes. So, does Georgia look as pretty on offense as some of these other teams? No.
No, they don't.
But that, does that mean there aren't plays that could be out there? I mean, it's what Georgia does. It's Georgia's offense.
Now, if we go out there and start running the wishbone on Saturday.
then we'll say, Tyler Simmons, you
were
absolutely
correct.
Correct.
There was a lot of things we had not seen.
Yeah, we did not see that coming. If the Dogs, come out and, I don't know, run the wing tee, we'll be like, we did not see this coming.
I was going to say, if Bryce Ramsey was still on the team, we could, because that's what he ran back in high school.
A lot of these quarterbacks did. I know they a lot of more spread now, but, back in the day, that was the most prolific offense.
So 3 yards in a cloud of dust, old school.
But, now, quarterbacks take the victory formation out of the shotgun.
Yeah.
That doesn't even that kind of blows my mind.
I was gonna say that worries me because you're one bad snap away from turning that game on its head.
So anyway, what do you think? I mean, that's my opinion on this. I just don't know.
There might be three or four plays maybe that they haven't tried this year. Again, because we haven't trailed since the South Carolina game. Maybe they didn't feel the need from it. And obviously there's certainly a good chance we could be down on Saturday and Coley's got to pull something out of his sleeve that nobody's seen before. I don't think it's, 10 or 15 new plays.
No.
It may be a gadget or two here or there. But
you got to do what you're best at, what you're good at this time of year.
They may throw a wrinkle or two in there, but I'm not expecting a totally dynamic overhaul of the offense on Saturday.
And maybe Tyler Simmons is a lot more savvy than we're giving him credit for. Maybe he's just messing with people.
Yeah, hey, it's mind games. It's mental.
I don't know.
Got to mess with your opponent's head.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
That's right. All right, that's the 5 at 5 brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.